The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel.
What is the anointing of God? The Holy Ghost is the anointing of God, right? Where does that anointing live? Lives in me. Say, I'm anointed. Glory!
In your presence, anointing breaks the yoke.
Hallelujah. Be seated where you are. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. And upon this meeting, we receive understanding and revelation, clarity, utterance. We ask that the word be ministered and come strongly, blessing our hearts, answering questions and solving problems. Thank you for the supernatural that is made available in this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One of the things, come back to the keyboard, okay, but for now, let's just go without it. Amen. One of the things that I try to do whenever we have a powerful meeting coming up is to prepare your heart for it. Amen. And that again is what I'm going to do this morning. But then, in the course of preparing your heart for it, get set. Amen. Because whenever you begin to prepare your heart for a meeting, the meeting starts from that meeting. Hallelujah. And so, in case I got it in my spirit that there are people that are following this meeting and some that are present here who are here specifically because they want God to heal them. But I tell you, God is not going to turn you down. You didn't hear that? I said, God is not going to turn you down. Can you ask your neighbor, should I change my seat? Find out, should I change my seat? Or are you ready? Do you have some fire with you? Find out. If not, please, just change your seat. Praise God. Glory to God. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. So, why we prepare you for the meeting is simply because what every meeting is, you see, is not dependent on God. What happens in church is not decided by God. It's not God that decides what will go on in church this morning. Amazingly, that's what we don't understand. It's not God that decides who will get healed and who wouldn't get healed. You could be sick, walk into this place, there is healing here, God wants you to be healed, and you go home and you don't get healed. I've said it a couple of times, it is people in church that make church what it is. Are you following me? It is people in church that determines whether you'll be blessed or not. It is you. Your attitude towards a Christian meeting is what is going to decide the result and impact of that meeting in your life. I say it again. Your attitude towards a Christian meeting will determine the result and the impact of that meeting over your life. Are you following me? And so, we prepare your heart. We prepare your heart. Because God is ever ready. How many of you know that? God is ever ready. The tap is ever flowing. Whether you're going to fetch from it, you know, I'll give the example. If there is a flowing tap here, and then you come with your bucket, and you don't keep your bucket well positioned, the tap is going to flow. You're not going to get anything. The problem is not the tap. The problem is you and your attitude towards the meeting. Are you following me at all? And so your heart must be ready and prepared. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, we saw that scripture on Thursday when I was teaching you on the feast that we are having. Remember? Remember that feast? You were in church on Thursday, right? Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, he said, Now in this that I declare unto you, Paul was writing, he said, I praise you not that you come together not for the better but for the worse. He said, that I'm hearing something, and this thing I'm hearing is making it possible that when you gather, your gathering is for the worse. So it is possible to gather in church for the worse. Did you get the point? Put up another translation of this verse. Another translation. He says, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. So it is possible to be in church and you go back worse than you came. Now, the problem can never be the church. Are you following me? God is not the issue. So your attitude towards a meeting, sometimes people come to meetings and then everybody's shouting, oh, powerful meeting, I was blessed, I was touched. And then as far as you are concerned, the music was wonderful, the choir, they performed well, just as somebody sang off key, that's the only thing you remember.
Because your attitude towards the meeting is going to determine whether you'll be blessed or not.
Glory to God.
Some of you don't realize that what makes people blessed in a meeting is not instruments, it's not microphone, it's not keyboard. We can hold a meeting, no keyboard, no instrument, no mic. People will still be blessed.
I follow your point.
It is men that make meeting what it becomes. And so that's why we prepare your heart for the meeting. We let you know what to expect and how you should come for the meeting. All our centers are tuning in, are joining us in this service now, from Osoka to Obolo to Ebonyi State to Owerri. So let's celebrate them. Celebrate them like you know it. Thank you, Port Harcourt too. God bless you. We see you guys. Amen. Now, why are they joining this meeting? Because almost all of them will be available here on Friday and Saturday. And so, because of that, they have to get set too for the meeting. Because it's possible to just walk into. People think you just walk into meetings like that. I've told you guys something. When I was teaching on workings of faith, things don't just happen in the spirit. You work things out. Miracles are worked out. It's just say it's coincidence. I didn't even know something just happened. No. Most times when something has happened, something made that thing to happen. And one of the things I've taught you, whenever a miracle happens, let me just drop this. Whenever a miracle happens, learn to, you know, in mathematics, they say it's to show your working. Right? Okay. Why do you have to show your working? If you just show that the answer is 12, you might be correct. But you know, someone else cannot look at that answer and repeat the same process. It is in looking at your working step by step, a person can see, okay, wow, this is how you arrived at 12. It means even 30 other persons can do the same thing and have the same result. When miracles happen, when things happen for you, trace, how did this come about? Don't just say it's coincidence. Things are not coincidental like that. Are you following me? Sometimes, I've said this over time, we do this in church all the time. Any day we come to and something extraordinary happens, either in the positive or in the negative, most times I'll call a meeting and I'll tell our ministers, why did this happen? For instance, we'll come to church on a particular day and then we used to be 5. And today we are 30. I'm giving an example, amen? Maybe we had, I'll call them and say, why did this happen? What did we do within this week? I get the point. Because things don't just happen. That same way, if we come and then things are just scattered here and there. There was a day we held service, one of those days. Not this venue. Power of God, most powerful service. Our service are always very blessed. But personally, in my spirit, man, I could feel what was working in that meeting is just that I'm very anointed. Amen? That was it. There was something lacking. So I called the ministers and I said, what is happening? What happened? Did you observe something about the service? I said, well, I tell you guys what happened. It's people that played the instruments. It wasn't Felix then. So don't be scared. But that was the case. That I say it's people that play these instruments. He said, how can people that play instruments determine what goes on in their service? Don't worry. When you get there, you know. Praise God. Yeah, that's why in this place, you don't just allow. It's not just, I can play. I feel play. May I come play? No. You feel play. Keep it in your house. Play in burial ceremonies, wedding ceremonies. Just play everywhere. You say why? The reason is simple. You can play instruments as career. As your career is beautiful. But once you begin to do it in the church, for the church, it becomes ministry. And ministry can only be done by the power of God. You see what I'm saying? That's the truth. You can play it any other place, beautiful. But once you begin to play the church, it becomes ministry. How do you explain the fact that I don't know why I'm saying all of this, because this is my message. How do you explain the fact that David will see a demon-possessed man called Saul and not sing and just play his instrument and then the demon will jump out of him? You know what I'm saying? Just playing. And so that's why that's why we always tell you, if you don't come for prayers, don't play the instrument. People say, what's there? It's not just to play. No. Sometimes the melody, and this, the melody can be good, the sound can be perfect, the coordination of the choir can be awesome, but nothing is happening. We're just getting entertained. If you're still there, say amen. Why am I saying all this? I don't even know. But all I'm saying is I should prepare for that. And so meetings must be taken. You know, what I'm saying this is to show you that our meetings are sacred. You know what the Bible says? Whenever two or three of you are gathered. One of the things why I refer church services is because God is there. He said, whenever two or three of you are gathered in my name, I am there. That makes all the difference for me. The fact that I know that God is present when I'm here. I don't know if you know God is here. And God is in us, obviously. But he said, when you guys now gather in my name, you know, I'd like you to see something. And that's why our meetings are sacred and will forever be sacred. As I said, when you come to church, you don't behave anyhow. The church is not a place. You know, why do we have so much order in church? Sit here. Sit here. There are ushers telling you, sit here. It's not because we're just trying to form packaging. It's because it is the church of God. If the president is going to sit down in this meeting, you're not going to behave anyhow. Some people don't know that there is an honor for church meetings and for believers' meetings. And that's why you take calls anywhere. Okay, your phone just ring. You don't tell me when you enter church, put your phone on silent. And if you've not done that, do it now. Do it now. Thank you. So why do you do that? Simple, because we are honoring the church. The church is sacred. It's a sacred place. The sacred place. That is the way to behave. That's why I always say, lift your hands, lift your hands. The church, for instance, is not a place for you to come and sleep. It's this honor in church for you to sleep in church. Why? This is not a bedroom. Praise God. And if I catch you sleeping in this meeting, you tell me whether you were watching match last night. That's what caused all this nonsense. Ordinary match, that somebody. Cup we have been carrying. It's not cup we've been carrying all the while. We will just carry this today. We'll not hear what. It's okay. It's my new fans that is peppering. Don't worry, let's have his end. Half time for all of you. Praise God. And if I had seen anybody wearing blue, like in that, just send you back. Praise God. So we must take meetings very seriously. Now, for instance, people wonder, the reason we don't come up here, you can't see us maybe here, bring up a comedian to come and start doing whatever. You say, we're just having fun. You can't have fun in church. You only be inspired by the Holy Ghost. The church is a spiritual place. You get the point? And comedy is not spirit inspired. Did you forget? It's not. And the amazing thing is that they're cracking joke with spiritual realities. And that's bad. I don't get the point. They're cracking joke with spiritual realities. Well, so I'm saying that we can make our meetings for the better. So I'll tell you some things in preparing for a meeting. I'm already talking about some of them. One of them is that you pray. Prayer is a major way you prepare before a meeting comes. People don't know. Prayer is one major way you prepare ahead of a meeting. Let me show you something. In Acts chapter 1 verse 12, before a meeting, you pray and you fast. It's not because we are just trying to get you to be serious. No. In doing that, your heart is, you don't just walk into a meeting like every other meeting. In case you don't know, you can come into a meeting and just go like that. Bible says, then return, this was after Jesus ascended. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Verse 13. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, you know, all of them gathered there. Praise God. Now, verse 14. These all continued one accord in what? In what? Prayer and supplication. So they stayed there praying. How long did they stay there praying? The Bible tells us, we know, I've already told you, how many days? How many days were they praying in that upper room? If you answer nonsense, how many days were they praying in the upper room? How many days were they praying? You are wrong. How many days were they praying? 10 days. He said, how did we come about that? It's very simple. Jesus ascended. Jesus rose from the dead, spent 40 days with them. From the time Jesus rose to the time Pentecost came was 50 days. So he spent 40 days with them, ascended. They went to the upper room and spent an extra 10 days. Do you understand the calculation? So they stayed there praying for 10 days. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that was when Pentecost now came. Okay? Now, he says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So, what I'm trying to show is that before the day of Pentecost came, a 10-day prayer meeting preceded the day of Pentecost. This is what I'm talking about. A 10-day prayer meeting preceded Pentecost. And so it wasn't just that everybody, okay, let me ask you a question. When they started praying, it was the letter of Pentecost. People said they were drunk, right? Do you remember? So does that not tell you that they were not the only people in that room? Do you get the point? Other people were around. It wasn't like other people were around the place. Why did those people not speak in tongues too? They were not set for the meeting. Let me tell you how it functions. You know, inside this room now, there is DSTV connection here. How many of you know that? You know, there is Al Jazeera in this room now. There is CNN here. There is BBC. Everything is here. Why are we not getting it? We have not. If we get the decoder and tune in, we will get it. Do you get the point? We are not getting it because we are not connected to it. That's how it is. The power of God can be moving here. Every other person is in the same place. You will not. Not because nothing is happening, because your heart is not set for it. You get the point? A rushing mighty wind came at the door of Pentecost. Such power. Yet, only 120 guys are speaking to us. Others were busy saying they are drunk. Why? Because only 120 people were prepared for the meeting before it arrived. Are you following me? And so we find out what happens in the meeting is not really dependent on the power or intensity of power in the meeting. No. It's dependent on how prepared your heart is for that meeting. So they spent 10 days praying. That's why, for instance, for Platform of Grace all over, if you're following this meeting or a Platform of Grace member, from tomorrow we are fasting. We are fasting from tomorrow till Thursday. We are fasting and praying for that meeting, for your life too. So you don't just walk into the meeting and just, wow, things just happen, you just go home. That's something you don't know. Well, I plan to say this later. I've said it before, but let me just drop it. Every time we are in church, something is happening that you are not seeing. Take this from me. There is something that happens in church that does not happen in another place. And so it's only by being very spiritually sensitive in a meeting that you can pick what is going on in a meeting. Jesus was walking with the disciples and a crowd. Now, the woman with the blood touched him and got healed. If Jesus did not announce somebody touched me, nobody would have known somebody just got healed at that moment. You get the point? As I'm teaching, someone is getting healed. As we are singing, someone is getting blessed. As we are praying, someone is getting an alert. Things are happening that you don't know because you're not connected to it. Are you following me? So the first thing is you pray. You pray, you fast before a meeting comes. And I've taught you, this is not just for special meetings. Even for Sunday services, that's how to come to church. Saturdays should be a time you spend praying. I'm not going to church tomorrow to come fulfill righteousness. I'm not going because tomorrow, that's how some of you come to church. Oh, what's tomorrow? Sunday. That's why you even come late. Because it's nothing to you. Nobody goes to write an exam, waking up that man and say, oh, today an exam, make I go. No. You prepare for it a long time. Is that not true? That's how church is. You prepare in prayer. Saturday night, you're already praying, declaring the name of Jesus. You are praying. Now, your prayer is going to work at a lot of things. So one of the things your prayer can do for you is that it can remove distractions from the meeting. Not that you come into a meeting, that time you're about to get blessed, the mic just goes, you don't hear anything. Prayers can work a lot of things out. And then most importantly, it puts your heart in place. I've told you guys, fasting, we don't fast to get to move God. Have I told you that before? Fasting does not move God. Just write that in your note and don't forget it. God is not moved by your fasting. Okay, we don't fast so that when we fast, God will now say, Kai, this my friend has not eaten for the past 7 days. So you can't emotionally blackmail God with your hunger. Do you understand? What fasting does is that it keeps your heart in the right frame to receive from God. So fasting has effects on you, not on God. Get it right. Don't think you're trying to move God with 30 days fasting. Say, God, I not see my fasting. No. When you remove food, remove whatever, and you are spending time here praying, you are putting your heart in the right frame of mind to receive from God because you've removed distractions from the way. Who is in church this morning? And so we are fasting from tomorrow. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You fast and you come. We are not coming here. We are praying every day at home. Like, make sure you're fasting and pray. Then 10 p.m. every day in your different houses, we'll pray. I might give you a platform where we're all going to come together and pray along. I may not give you, but the important thing is 10 p.m. in your houses, you start praying. You pray for at least an hour every day. I get the point. It is Christian discipline to learn to pray. So you pray and you fast. You pray and you fast. And so, the second way to prepare for a meeting, for instance, I encourage people, is to participate in the planning of the meeting as much as you can. You know, it helps the meeting go smoothly. You know, there are a lot of things that go on. Sometimes when you see a meeting succeed, just know that a lot of things went on before that meeting came. For instance, what you call Sunday service now, we are just gathered here, you are getting blessed. This short service must have taken a lot from some people. And so when you get involved in the planning and the organization, things like publicity, things like organizing things, you are planning the meeting for yourself, you are making it better for yourself. And so I'll just encourage you, give in too. Decide that I'm going to make this meeting a success. Be part of the planning as much as you can. What is as much as you can? As much as you are given the privilege. As much as I am given the privilege. That's why I normally encourage you, a member here, you're a committed person here, be here on Saturdays, every Saturday. What are you coming to do? We are coming to make the service work. The choir is rehearsing. These people are cleaning up. We are setting the place. Some people are responsible for every fine thing you see happening in church. And you must decide to be part of them. And so, special making is coming. You're going to come. I'm not using this hall. We still announce where we are using. You know where we are using. You now get there. Everywhere is clean. Everywhere is fine. You just say, wow. You don't know people made it happen. Decide to be part of the 20% that makes things happen. Anywhere you find yourself, decide to be part of the 20% that makes things happen. You see, people are going to come only if you are going to make it happen. And it's always good. And if I even talk about program, whatever, it is responsibility. I keep teaching you responsibility here, remember? It is responsibility. Whenever you are, for instance, I give example all the time with your family. If you are in your family and there is somebody, there's something happening in the family, make sure you participate. If it is money, make sure you give, even if it's 1,000 you have. You get the point? Be responsible. You don't wake up, for instance, as a human being. You don't wake up in the house as a child in the house and then you're just sitting down doing nothing, smiling, everybody's cleaning, everybody's working, just pressing phone, laughing on your Instagram. You are an irresponsible child. That's how it is to be, that it looks like to be in church and walking every Sunday morning, expecting that the fan will be on, expecting that instrument will play today, expecting that seats will be set. Who does those things for you? I get what I'm saying. Who does those things for you? And if you learn responsibility, you know, one of the things that that has marked my life, if you know me from the onset, is if I get into, except I don't want to be there. If I get into a place that I want to be here, I'm there full time. When I get admission into school, you know, I started to join a fellowship. That fellowship, nobody invited me. I decided. But when I was leaving the house, I said I'm going to join this fellowship. So when I came to school, you know, if you get into first year, many fellowships are hunting for you. So all of them just wanting, want a fellowship. I decided I was going to be in this fellowship. So then those people didn't even come for me. So I went there. I came very early because I didn't even know the time of service. That time, I think, was 8. It was 9. I came by 8. I came 1 hour ahead of time. The leaders were meeting, praying, and all that. Now, from that first day, I carried the instrument. First day, carried the instrument, cleaned the hall, did whatever. First day. And the reason is because I cannot just be coming in and getting blessed and living irresponsibly. It doesn't speak well of me. I get the point. So a meeting is coming up. And you are expected to be blessed, be part of the meeting fully. Hallelujah. Give, publicize, set things up. The third way you prepare for a meeting is to have your expectations. You know, we say this all the time. The Bible tells us that the expectation of the righteous shall not be controlled. Now, if you walk into a meeting without an expectation, you are expecting nothing. And I'll tell you what you're going to get. Nothing. Nothing. You see, Sunday services, don't just walk in. Prepare for, okay, sometimes what you're expecting, I'm expecting the word to be taught. I'm expecting to be blessed. Your heart is said, that's what is going to inform your prayer point. I didn't get a point. Because I have an expectation. I gave an example with the woman of the issue of blood. Why? She told Jesus she was well. Do you know why? But now, Peter asked Jesus something. People are touching you. Everybody's touching you. Why can you say who touched me? There was something different about that touch. Why? Before she came, she said to herself, if I touch. You get the point? So you see expectation and prayer there. Before she came, as I'm going, if I touch. Do you know that? You can so much expect laying on of hands. And declare in the name of Jesus, as hands will be laid on me in this meeting. This is going to change about me. You can say it so much and pray about it and pray it so much that even as the man did not lay hands on, he's just mistaken. He just touched as somebody is preaching. Something changes. The difference is not the touch. The difference is expectation. I didn't get the point. So everybody was touching Jesus, but she touched. Nothing different. Before she came, she has said. That's why before meetings come, you're expecting and you're talking. Are you following me? You're saying something. Say, this is my meeting. I'm going to get blessed. If you've been sick, you can speak so much about your healing that you are so sure that you cannot leave this without being healed. Not that meetings we've gone to. You know, where somebody came in, comes in crippled, but he has so much expected healing. The meeting ended, he didn't get healed. They told the man, let's go. He said, I'm not going. I'm getting healed today. We are backing up. He said, I'm getting healed in this meeting today. And he stayed until you got it and left. I don't get the point. Your expectation delivers what you want. Because it's not God that stays in heaven calling the shots, deciding he will get healed, he won't get healed, he will get it, he won't get it. So have an expectation, pray it out. So that woman said, if I touch. What's special about the touch? Nothing. She said, if I touch. So what released the power was our expectations. So what are you expecting, for instance, for Supernatural Weekend? This meeting coming up, what are you expecting? What do you want to happen? What are you looking forward to? And I encourage you, write it. Have you written something? Don't come to meetings. Write expectations. As in, so write them in detail. That as they're happening, you are ticking them. Are you getting the point? You're ticking them. Be that deliberate about expectations. That's why you don't come to meetings to play. Why people come to meetings? They're preaching or they're praying or singing. They're outside gisting. They didn't come for anything. Some of them, the expectations have been met as they're gisting. Because the expectation was to see their friends. So as they're gisting, it's been met. But I'll tell you something. You see, in this meeting, your expectations will not just be met. It will be exceeded. It will be exceeded fully. Because God, Bible says, tells us, you know, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we, come on, talk back to me, all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So the power that is at work in you has capacity to exceed your expectation. It has the capacity to exceed your expectation. So what are your expectations this morning? For instance, starting from this meeting first. And you know, sometimes, you know something about expectation. I told you guys, the anointing responds to needs. Remember that? I can come to this meeting not planning to pray for your finance. And you are just here. And then, because you channel, there is no way my finance is getting blessed in this meeting. And somewhere in the meeting, the whole thing will just change. I'll just start praying about it. Sometimes I will not even pray about it. You know, in Acts chapter 14, the Bible tells us that Paul was preaching in Lystra. He was preaching a normal message. The Bible says he was preaching the gospel. Christ, death, and resurrection. He wasn't preaching the mere healing. But then, look what it, Acts 14, I think that's it. Pull it up. He was in Lystra. He wasn't preaching healing. The Bible says there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. See how the Bible described him, impotent at his feet, being a cripple, never had walked. Now, verse 9, the Bible tells us the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving. So the man had faith to be healed. So Paul was preaching, he was preaching something different. But looking at this man, he saw this guy is ready for healing. And he interrupted his message in verse 10. And with a loud voice, he says, stand upright on your feet. The guy jumped up. That's what the situation does. I didn't get the point. So you should have something at heart when you walk in the church. So that church will not just be another place you come to every Sunday. I get that point. So that church will not just be another place you come to every Sunday. Don't you know how, imagine how people come to church every Sunday and are so blessed. They just come and you go. Nothing happened to you. And I'll share a testimony with you guys. You know, and someone I believe is even following this meeting now. You know, sent me a testimony. And I already, already told us, glory to God. Glory to God. You know, and you know, let me, I think I should read that testimony for you. So I have a testimony. And this person followed last Sunday online. She wasn't even present. Now, let me say this to you. If you can, be present in church. Say amen. If you can, no, be what? Be present in church. Online services can never be the norm. That's why we have an online church. The idea of our online church, we call it PG Connect. I tell them all the time, the online church is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. The idea is that people who can make it to church, they can keep meeting and following the meetings online until, and then they can get one or two persons to stream with them until they can have a physical church there. So it's a means to an end. It only happens when we cannot be present. Okay? But be that as it may, even if you are online or on ground, once your heart is in the meeting, you'll be blessed. I didn't get a point. Because the anointing was on no distance. Look at, he said, I have a testimony at church yesterday. Everything you said was directly for me. When you said I should not worry and pray instead, I did exactly that, trusting God for a job. And this morning I decided to go to an application at, I will not mention the name of the place, but it's a very big firm. At first, the security people refused my entering there because at that time the office has closed. So that I should come back next week. And I said, Papa, God miraculously arranged everything and broke protocols for me. I got in there and they said they don't need people, that I should go. That if the need arises, they will call me. So she couldn't enter at first, but let her manage to get in. Or well, then they said, wow, we don't need people. We're not employing, so go home. So as I was about leaving, I saw the son of a certain man. I won't call his name. I knew him some time ago through my dad. So I decided to greet him. So he asked me what I came to do. I told him. He asked me what they tell me. I told him that they said I should go, that they will call me when they need someone. At that moment, he ordered that the MD should interview me immediately. And after that, people were saying that I am lucky that he hardly comes around. And the testimony is that same evening, I got a call this evening that I should resume on Monday. Now, this is application, interview, employment in less than 12 hours. I didn't get the point. Now, you wouldn't have ever known that someone received a job just in service. But that's what she had in mind when she came. Please follow me this morning. Your heart must be set. Glory to God. Your heart must be set. And so you come in with the expectation. I know there's an attitude that shows you come with an expectation. Now, I was talking about sleeping this morning. Let me give you a very simple rule. You cannot be preparing to come to church in the morning and you know that your pastor used to teach. And then you're expecting to be blessed by the word. And you stay up on Saturday night till 3 or 4 o'clock. You're just going to come here and start sleeping and fool yourself. It shows you're not expecting anything. Are you following me at all? Expectation shows that before the meeting arrives, you are preparing ahead of time. It's even in how you iron your clothes. It's not now Friday. The meeting is 4:30. And by 4:50, I say, what am I going to wear? What am I even going to wear? And you will definitely walk in late. It shows your heart is not set for anything. What are you going to wear by 4:15? And I trust NEPA. They will take light. At that time, you see, oh God, I love this country. They will take light. You know what? Did they mean me? If they like brought my clothes, is this today? You knew you were going for program. You know, when I go for programs, you know, when I was younger, there was a meeting we used to attend then. In 1 week, one minister's meeting is attending in Port Harcourt those days. See that meeting? Before that meeting arrives, 2 weeks, you're finished ironing your clothes, packing your clothes. So that you don't even have money to go, but you have packed your clothes. Your heart is set. It shows that you are really expecting something. That's why you come in on time, you are seated on time. You know, punctuality sometimes shows you are really expecting something. Yeah. When you just walk in anytime, it just shows, well, it's yet another Sunday morning, yet another program. If I don't go, they'll be calling me on phone. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? So I think I just have to get into this meeting and just sit down. And that's how people, you don't walk in the church that way. It shows in everything. For instance, I come to this church this morning, you knew I was going to teach. You came without your biro. You came without any writing material. What? You think I'm a herbalist? Praise God. I'm a pastor. I'm not a herbalist. If you are going to class, especially your lecturer that is going to teach, not all these lecturers, I mean lecturer that will deliver value. Okay, let me put it another way. You know that your lecturer is going to teach something this morning that will come out in exam next week. How do you come? With your pen. You're writing, you are ready to pen down stuffs. Okay, go with the phone recorder. Oh God. Life has advanced. In our own days. So you get set. Now, if you don't want to write with your, you want to use your phone or you want to use your tab, I've encouraged you. If you want to do that, it's okay. It's beautiful. Just try to get a tab that you are using for the Bible and your notes. Don't be typing on your phone and messages are coming and you are smiling. Have they brought a lineup for this match today? How can this man be playing, oh God, in church? And things can be that distracting. Nobody's just spiritual. Praise God. Things can be that distracting. Especially for guys that watch football. Sometimes there's a match in the afternoon, they just release line up. You just look at it. You're wondering, why is Cavani not in this match? Praise God. Glory to God. Let's glorify God for Man U fans. Say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. 11 is always stronger than 10. Praise God. If you didn't get it, just leave it. So, you come expectant. You come very expectant. Say amen. Amen. Now, that is what happens before you come for the meeting. Now, when you announce that in the meeting, there is a way to respond. The first, you begin to respond to the word of God well. Because how you respond to a meeting determines how you'll be blessed in the meeting. Now, I've taught you about honor and order. Let me show you. Matthew 13 verse 54. Jesus came into a place. He came to heal the sick. But then the way they received him and responded to him. Because when we say respond to the word of God well, you need to realize that the word of God is taught by men. So how you respond to the word is how you respond to the men teaching the word. Look at this. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues in so much that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and this mighty works? Who is this small boy that he's talking? Where did he get this other stuff from? And once you begin to look at a man like that, you're not going to get blessed. See what happens next. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judah? They knew him. They knew him. And his sisters, people that said that Jesus didn't have sisters, see, he has sisters. Are they not all with us? Whence had this man all these things? And they were offended in him. So Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save his own country and his own house. So they didn't honor him. Verse 58 is now key. And he did not many mighty works there because of the unbelief. So their reception of him affected the miracles. He didn't work miracles there. Was Jesus anointed to work miracles? Yes. Did he work it then? No. They were not ready for it. How were they not ready? They were seeing that. What's this one now? There was dishonor in their hearts. That's when people call me and say, Papa, my dad, my mother is sick. That. I wanted to pray for him. I always tell them, does your father know who I am? Because how you perceive a man of God is how you're going to get blessed by him. I didn't get the point. Sometimes when people call me, I have 5 cases of raising the dead. The first one I had, there was no way that girl would not come back to life. There's so much. The lady was sick. They were rushing her to her place. And while on the way, the lady now passed on. Now, they said, let's still get there. You know, that's a lot of honor and belief in the anointing. I didn't get the point. So let's get there. There was no way. But then sometimes when people say, somebody I know died, sir, please pray. Nothing is going to happen. Because even the owners of the dead don't believe. As they are praying, they are taking out too much water.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
So, how you respond to a man of God, how much you honor what is happening in the meeting will determine how you are going to be blessed. And so, in this meeting forthcoming, let me just pause to say, we are having a guest minister. We are having Apostle Theophilus Danjuma come to minister to us in this meeting. Now, I will say a little about his ministry, but before that, why do we invite guest ministers in church? Why do we invite guest ministers? The simple reason is, we invite ministers to encourage, support, and not destroy or negate what the pastor is doing. So we're not bringing somebody that will come and do something different. Whatever is going to come and do is what we've been doing here. He's coming to support it. And let me show you some scriptures about guest ministers and all that. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, Philip had gone to Samaria and preached. And people had gotten saved. Miracles have happened. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And so, they came to support what Philip. They didn't come to say, Philip, you are doing nonsense. I'm saying this for some of you that are ministers. In inviting men of God, you want to invite a minister, don't invite someone that will come and scatter what you are doing.
You get the point?
They'll come and say something different. And some people don't know these things. Some people don't know me from Adam. That's why I don't go for meetings anyhow. Just call me, sir. We saw you on Facebook. We want to come and preach for us. I said, do you know me? You get the point? And I'm careful about going for such meetings because you might go there and you speak against everything they believe in and mess the church up. And then, in speaking the truth, you've caused trouble. Are you following me? And so, that's why nobody I invited here is coming to mess anything up. So they're coming to support what the pastor is doing. Sometimes they're coming to supply what we don't have yet. What that means is, there could be things that God wants to open us up to. And you know man is God's method, right? Yeah, it's man God will use. Some things that God has opened us up to. That's why sometimes when ministers come and do their work well, guest ministers, certain flows start happening in the church. Certain flows. Okay? You know, you find that in Acts chapter 10, we see the story of Cornelius, who was a devout Christian, devout lover of God, but he wasn't a believer. Okay? And then he was praying, and he had a vision. And the vision, the angel told him, send for Peter. Are you following me? Send for Peter. He will tell you what to do. So when Peter now came, Peter came and brought the word of God to them. I'm going to teach from that scripture this morning. So Peter came and delivered God's word to them. And so they said for him, so he came to make up for what Cornelius did not know. Are you following me at all? So they're coming to support the work. Another example of that, for instance, in Romans 1 verse 11, Paul will tell them, I look forward to coming to see you that I might impart to you some spiritual gifts. So that's why guest ministers can bring impartations. Are you getting the point? Are you following me at all? They can bring impartations. Sometimes after a good way finish coming to a church, things can open up for that church because men are graced differently. Amen? And that's why I normally tell people, a guest minister is coming to support what the pastor is doing. He's not coming to take the place of your pastor. I get the point? He's not. And as a minister, and I'm very careful of that, I said something last week. That's why I don't go to meetings, and after the meeting, people start meeting me. I don't form counseling line after meetings. I don't do it. You don't see me. Except the pastor permits it, because I'm not coming to take place of their pastor. And if you're a minister, learn it. You don't go to preach in a man's meeting, and then you start collecting number from his church members. And that's why we teach well. Like you that is a member here, you don't break protocol. Some people, guest minister is coming, before you know, behind, they're talking to him, sir, you're my mentor, sir. Who is your mentor? And that's a sign that you are not trained. You are carried away by anything. And I've learned it. You know, somebody was, that guy might be following this meeting now. Okay, no, you shouldn't. He was chatting me up last week. Sir, this, that. You know, my church. You know, he first of all said he wants to ask him a lot of questions. And personally, I don't answer those questions on Messenger, if you know me. The person kept asking. I chatted him after much asking because I noticed he was using my picture as his DP, using it as his everything. So I chatted him up. I said, good evening, you're asking a lot of questions, but I don't answer those questions on Messenger. What is your church?
And so he told me, look at my church. I said, fine. I think it's better you learn these things from your church. That's why if you don't have a very good local church, locate one now and have. Or you're in one already now. Because a lot of things are going to... I said, go ask your pastor. So he shouted me up. He said, okay, sir. But what you don't realize is that... This is how he was writing. I'm quoting him. What you don't realize is that my church, they don't teach these kind of things. Because I was asking questions around the supernatural flowing in God's power. They don't teach the supernatural. Guess what I answered? I said, so what are we going to do about it? It's not me you put in trouble. So I will now tell you, okay, well, in my own church, I teach supernatural. No. He said, I don't know what I'm... He said, I don't know. I said, fine. It's okay. The only thing I'm going to advise you is get teachings and listen. Okay? But I can't tell you, because you need to realize that we don't come, you know, that you don't go to people's church and are trying to play pastor over their members. And so that's why people, you know, people, there are protocols, for instance. You know, we don't bring a guest minister and we expose him to everybody to see. We don't do that. Get the point? We don't do that because there are protocols. So you respect those protocols to be able to get best. They are coming for a specific assignment that God has sent them. And that assignment happens in that meeting. So you should open up your heart, open up yourself, and get blessed from the meeting. And the thing does it. You know, some people change spiritual fathers as a new man of God comes to town. Say, that's my new pastor, man. That's my new spiritual father, man. That's an irresponsible girl, man. Yeah. That's irresponsibility. Imagine changing biological father like that. Look at how you reason guest ministers, okay? It's like in your home, you know the church is the family, right? In your home, you have a father. You have your father's friends. Some are older than him, some are uncles. Once in a while, they visit the house. They bring food. Sometimes they buy you bread. Sometimes they even buy you toy. They are not coming to take the place of your father. They are coming to support what your father has been doing for you. I didn't get the point. So when they finish their job, oh, uncle, thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Praise God. So there must be honor in your heart, but then you must respect protocols. Amen? So you don't keep jumping. I'm not talking about this meeting. I'm not talking about this church alone. Everywhere, even if you're not a member of this church and listening to this now, don't be carried away because you saw one guest minister visit from anywhere. Don't do it. You know, you have people that have never given money to their pastor. But when a guest minister arrives, they say, Adama carry power. You don't realize that why that, well, that's, it's not for today. I will not talk about all that today because I'm already leaving my message. But I just thought to say that for some ministers here. That's why if you're a minister here, be very careful about how you open your... Since we started this church, you've not seen me invite anybody here, have you? This is the first time. Amen? So you don't just open... The reason is because a pastor is a father. And no father leaves the feeding of his children to everybody on the street. I get what I'm saying? You don't do that. You don't leave the feeding of your children to everybody on the street. And then once in a while, you breeze in. Once in a while, you breeze in. No. You're only responsible for that. Responsibility is that you are there. Once in a while, yes. But then, so if you're a minister, that's why, you know, I learned this from my spiritual father. He said, don't invite people you don't know. You get the point? Don't invite people. You know, people are carried away by big names. Don't invite people you don't know. You don't know them. You don't know their doctrine. You don't know what they teach. You don't know what they stand for. Why am I saying all of this? I'm saying this to tell you that the man we are inviting here is somebody we know. So whether I know, anointed, full of God, amen, full of the word, full of the miraculous and all that. One of the ways to begin to receive from a guest minister when he comes, I'm already talking about it, is that you should know something about his ministry. Just get to know a little about his ministry. That's why, for instance, let me not talk about guest minister now. Guest minister, Zoe is coming something. We're having a meeting. One of the ways to prepare for that kind of meeting is begin to listen to my teachings before that day. Prepare your heart. So a man of God is coming to us in the weekend. That's why I'm doing this teaching. To let you know, for instance, I'll tell you a few things about Apostle. Apostle is a man that is a very in-depth teacher of the word. You need to know it and expect that he's going to teach. Amen? He's not shout, yeah! Shout, yeah! He's a very in-depth teacher. Very fiery, but in-depth. He teaches very well. So when you come for that meeting, you should expect a man that will teach. Come with your notes. Amen? Come with the writing material. Apart from that, he's a man that is very well graced with the supernatural. Yeah. When it comes to miracles, broken bones coming back, shorter legs growing out, that is apostle for you. Dead rising, he's that anointed. Okay, God has graced him with that. Why am I saying all this? So that you prepare your heart when coming. Praise God. And the things that happen is meetings happen basically by the spoken word. So you should come with a lot of amen when coming for that meeting. You get the point? A lot of amen should be in your pocket. Because that is him. And I was telling you guys a story last Thursday of how they brought a dead child. A dead child. They kept it on the stage and they were looking for him. Because he was not around. They were looking for him all over the place. The brothers just kept still. As they were looking for him to come and pray for the child, before they could get back into the hall, the child was up running all over the place. You get the point? Those testimonies happen all the time. And he's a man that has had a lot of personal encounters with Jesus, a lot of Jesus, appearance of Jesus, not once, not two times, not five times, not many times. Used to be a Muslim. Jesus appeared to him. He got saved. You know that, he had that dramatic salvation story, amen? And so we are bringing, and so he's a man that started off with the supernatural, and he is that great for the supernatural, amen? So you should be expecting that things. And then he prayed, and then one of the prayers that follows him a lot is when we talk about finances too. Praise God. Finances, speaking over your finance, prosperity and all that. Should expect such prayers. So get your heart set. Amen? I'm letting you know what to expect in the weekend, over the weekend. You say, I don't even know this man from anywhere. You don't need to. I'm telling you now. Do you understand? And for every minister we're going to invite you, I'm going to do this too for you. So that you will know, your heart will be set. That this, you know, for instance, if Brother Hagin is coming to your church, you know, coming to run a Holy Ghost meeting, you should be able to laugh a lot. If you don't know that that's how his ministry functions, you just be there and wondering, why are people laughing? I didn't get the point. I will just look at that and laugh. Ha ha! I say, what's wrong with this one? This one doesn't know what to preach. Just came here to laugh. Came to laugh at us. It's my clothes torn. So you should know. So I'm letting you know. You say, so where did we learn this from? This is found in the Bible too. In Luke chapter 10 verse 1. Let me quickly. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Glory to God. Now Jesus sent out, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither himself would come. So he sent them to cities that he would visit. Put up another translation of this. So they came, went there to talk about him before he came. And that prepared their hearts. Look at that. He said, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. So by going there and talking about him, talking about his ministry, their heart is now set. That's why you won't invite me to your church or to your house to come and pray. Tell your people who you are inviting. Amen? It's not, you say, so we're not praising men. No, you are preparing their hearts to get whatever that is going to be given. So Jesus sent them to places he had plans of coming to. There's another case in the Bible in Philippians chapter 2 where Paul was planning to send a certain brother to the Philippian church. Philippians 2:25. So he also prepared their heart about the coming of that brother. Look at the screen. Philippians 2:25 says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor. See how he's hailing the guy. So they have to be ready. They have to be ready. Fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministers to my wants. Let's continue. Verse 26. Is somebody they know, obviously. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. Okay? For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, he may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Verse 29 is now key. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold him in reputation. I didn't get the point. So you prepare their heart that this brother is coming. Don't just think he's just one other person that is coming. Look at, he's going to come. I'm sending him. This is what to expect when he comes. Receive him very well. I'm following the point. So what I'm doing this one is very scriptural. Amen. How was I expectant for Friday? Amen. Trusting God for anything, money, miracles. You're going to see all of that. All of that. All of that. Praise God. And most importantly, one of the things to expect is the fact that such a man is coming, that same grace will rub off on you. You will flow in the same. Because I tell you guys, in a healing or miracle service, the healing power is present. Not just to heal, but to be contacted. Are you following me at all? It is present, not just for healing, but for you to also contact it. So this Friday, this Saturday, we are going to be here with Apostle Phillips, and it's going to be a great blessing. So we prepare our hearts for it. Amen. Another way to prepare, for instance, how to receive the man of God is plan to honor him. Okay? Even financially. And how you do that is, we are giving already for the program. Now, that giving you are doing for the program will be given to him as honor. Decide to be part of it before the program arrives. Send in something. I want to honor this man. Because I tell you guys, the anointing flows on the wheels of honor. You know, right? You know now? Yeah. So prepare to honor him. And I'm going to say a few more other things on honor. One way to show that you honor a man is that you must be seated before the man comes. That's where punctuality comes in. And say, is this in the Bible? Yes, it is. I'll show you. Acts chapter 10, verse 24. You must be seated before he arrives. You don't let, and it's shown in secular meetings. Have you observed? If the governor is coming to a place, they make sure everybody is seated before he comes. Have you observed that? If sometimes he arrives in the city, they keep him in the hotel and tell him not to come until everybody is seated. Because it is dishonor for him to be seated and then you're not running in. Hallelujah. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. This was when Cornelius sent for Peter. I showed you the background of the story. He called for Peter. God told him to call for Peter, so he sent for Peter. Now look at what happened there. And had called together, go back to 24, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Yeah, that's how to receive. That's why some we pastors and other ministers will have to receive an apostle when he arrives. That's how to receive a minister. Are you getting the point? Before he comes, as he's arriving, like when he gets to the hotel room where he's going to stay, we have to be there. These things is part of honor. So Cornelius had blocked Peter at the door to bow, to kneel down, to worship him. Of course, that was wrong. The worship part was wrong. How do you know that? Let's continue. But Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. So the worship part was wrong. Amen. Cornelius was not born again. You know, right? At least at this point. So Peter corrected him at that. You should honor, but you shouldn't worship. Do you understand? Now, let's continue. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So this guy, God told him in a vision, sent for Peter. He publicized so much and gathered everybody together. I don't get the point. It was supposed to be a meeting between him and Peter, but he went beyond that. A lot to learn here. Amen? That's why we don't invite guest ministers and we just have two or three gathered. We reach out to a lot of persons. Because this one is coming to bless us. So he found many that were gathered. Verse 28 is now key. Glory to God. And he said unto them, are you there? He said unto them, you know that it's an unlawful thing. He's not there preaching to them. Go back to verse 27. The point I'm trying to show is that before he came, they were already gathered. Put up another translation of this verse. Before he came, he said, this message, he said, talking things over, they went on into the house where Cornelius introduced Peter to everyone who had come. So people had already come. Probably like NLT, they were already gathered. Where many others were assembled. So it doesn't look like the expectation showed in the fact that they were waiting for this man. So before he even came, they were all seated. That's order. That's why the meeting is 4:30. Be there, sit down. Come in on time, sit down on time, learn from the meeting. Don't be found, even if you are part of the ministers and all that, don't be found running up and down. If you handle what you're supposed to handle, come in and sit down. So when you find that you are seated, you're expecting, look at Amplify said, and as Peter spoke with him, he entered the house and found a large group of persons assembled. Large group. Now, notice, he was coming to Cornelius alone. But the way the man honored Peter, he already gathered his whole community to come there and be blessed. So when we tell people to publicize for meetings, when you're inviting someone or stuff, it's because we honor the meeting. We are so sure this meeting is going to be a blessing. So we're bringing a lot of persons. Are you still here? Glory to God. Okay, well, so you must be seated before he arrives. Okay, then when he arrives, when a minister arrives in the meeting, you receive him with honor and joy. Is that in the Bible? Yes, Philippians 2 verse 29. When Epaphroditus was going to come, Paul told them how to receive him. Look at the screen. He said, receive him therefore in the Lord with what? All gladness and hold him in reputation. That's why when a man of God enters, you scream. That thing you are rejoicing is because you expect something from him. Put up another translation of this. You expect something from him. Look at message. Let's read together. If you can see the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, let everybody put your voice. Let's start again. Give him a grand welcome. A joyful embrace. People like him deserve the best you can give. So, grand welcome. So when you see us making grand entrances for ministers, it's because we honor them. Amen? Don't say, why are they doing like that? Ha! Oh, in the church, is he president? If you think a president deserves that kind of welcome, then a minister deserves more. Are you following me? Give him a grand welcome. You don't know about our church. We're a church that believes so much in honoring men of God. You know, right? I'm a man of honor to the last. So give him a grand welcome and a joyful embrace. Amplified. Go back to Amplified. Glory to God. Amplified said, welcome him home then in the Lord with all joy and honor and highly appreciate men like him. All joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. With all joy. NLT, please. New Living Translation. All joy. Welcome him with Christian love and with great joy. And give him the honor that people like him deserve. So how are we going to welcome Apostle when he arrives on Friday? With joy. Glory to God. So it's not, let's welcome to the stage. And one of you guys just say, amen. No. With joy. Why are you rejoicing? Come on now. If you are told that somebody is bringing $1 million to you, and the man arrives. Praise God. Because you value what the guy is going to bring, oh boy, you are happy. Does he come? Glory! Over cannot think so. So you welcome him. You receive him with honor and joy. You receive him with honor and joy. You receive him joyfully and honorably. Amen. You receive him with honor and with joy. You receive him with honor and with joy. Then, when the teaching starts, I'm getting to where it matters, and we'll round up from here. When the teaching starts, or when the meeting starts, you must respond well to the teaching of the word and to impartations. Now, impartations is not always laying on of hands. Impartations is also spoken words. So when he's speaking, you must respond well to the word. And I've taught you how to respond to the word here. How? One of the very ways to respond to the word, for instance, like I said, is with joy. Not just to the man, but to the word. When you hear the word, that's why here we rejoice a lot, amen? When we are preaching, I will say, oh, you are blessed, you rejoice! That's how to show that you believe what was spoken. Are you following me? Psalm 119 verse 162. He said, I rejoice at your word as one that has found great spoil. That's how. Knowing the value of the word of God, you rejoice. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you found great spoil in the word of God? So when you know, so how do we respond to the word? With joy. With joy. Glory to God. For instance, he's teaching on righteousness. He tells you, I tell you what, you are righteous in Christ. What do you do? What do you do? Yeah. You shout. You scream. He said, in this meeting, you're going to be blessed. You rejoice. You respond to the word with joy. Because you know the word is true. Glory to God. You know the word is true. So when the word of God says, we're teaching about eternal realities, I will tell you, God has blessed you. Because that's one of the statements you keep hearing from Apostle where he comes. That is his stuff. God has blessed you. So when you hear God has blessed you, you celebrate because God has blessed me. You respond to God's word with joy. With joy. In church, every time, you know, this is the place where you hear the word of God. Say, you're righteous in Christ. You say, amen, no. Amen. Glory to God. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, rather, chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6. We learn how to respond to God's word joyfully. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, very quickly. It says, so you received the message. Go back to King James. We're coming back to this. He said, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. So when the word was brought to them, they had much affliction. But how did they receive the word? With joy of the Holy Ghost. So you receive the word of God with joy. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life. When the word of God comes, respond with joy. Are you getting the point? Respond to the tune of God's word with joy. With joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's why you don't walk into meetings where you're expecting to be blessed and you're just so organized. So they say, praise God. You say, yeah, glory to God. We don't do that here. Not here, please. We don't do that here. Amen. If ordinary gold they scored last night can make the whole world go wild. No, jokes apart. It's not like I'm saying this thing for anything. But just one goal. But look at the point. That goal, why were they celebrating? One, that thing was a final. And they knew the worth of that goal. The worth of that goal is a cup, Champions League cup, that Man U could not even carry Europa. That's the worth. That goal was a powerful goal. So they celebrated because, I don't mean any harm. It's an illustration that just to drive the message home. Now, but see the point. If you know the value of the word of God, when it drops, you know, when I hear I'm righteous in Christ, I don't pretend like I'm happy. I'm really excited. Let me say it again. God has blessed you. I said again, God has blessed you. I said, God has blessed you. Glory! Hallelujah. So I'm righteous in Christ. I'm redeemed in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not a sinner. I am a saint. Hell has lost me forever. Hey! I'm blessed. 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 Glory. I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the afternoon. I'm blessed in the night. Goodness and mercies are mine all the days of my life. All the days of my life. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. So I scream. Glory. Hallelujah. Have we found great spoil? And I said, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. There's a treasure we have found in the word of God. We are not pretending. The word of God changed us. I get to the point. We're not pretending. We're not acting. God's word has changed us. So when you hear the word of God, you must be that. That's what I might tell you guys. Do you have some fire? Because you don't come to just pretending like you're fine. You must be fine. So that when you walk into church, drop your worries at the gate. And come in here ready to shout. Ready to scream when the word of God comes. I believe the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Hey! The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, you know what it means? It means a shepherd feeds the sheep. The Lord feeds me. What it means is I can never be hungry. I can never be in lack. I can never be in lack. Hey, Akeborata. Hey! The Lord is my shield. He keeps me. So whether unknown gunmen or men gone known, God keeps me safe. No harm will come near my dwelling. When you hear it, you rejoice. Why? Because it is true. And it is valuable.
It is valuable. I tell you like I know it. No harm is coming near your dwelling place. This season, you are kept safe. I said you are kept safe. You and your family, you are safe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I perceive in this meeting, there's going to be something for, I don't know why this is coming. If you have someone that needs a baby, get him tuned in on the meeting. From Friday, we're going to have miracle babies. If you know someone, let him come, let him get tuned in. There are going to be miracle babies. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be seated for a moment. Amen. Message said, I'm ecstatic over what you say. Like one who strikes it rich. I'm like David. I'm excited at the word of God. Because I've hit jackpot. Glory to God. Something has happened to me. And so you rejoice at the word of God. You receive the word of God with a lot of joy. Another way you receive the word of God, for instance, when it's being taught, is with meekness. James 1 verse 21 tells us to receive God's word with meekness of heart. With meekness. With meekness. James 1 21. Start with King James. Glory to God. So, you look at the screen, it said, wherefore rather, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So, with meekness. What of like an analogy? With meekness. He says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your life, and humbly accept the word of God. That's what I'm looking for. So, the reason it goes with meekness is that you're humble towards the word. When the word of God comes, whatever he says is true. So you humble yourself towards the word. You are not above God's word. God's word is above us all. So whatever he says to us is true. So you humbly accept what he says. Even if it's against what you've believed in the days of your life. Once it can be shown, explained contextually in the Bible, it is true above your ideologies. Please get the point. Because some of things you notice when you begin to come from this and come around these places, a lot of things you believed, we're going to scatter them. Pieces them. Reason is, and we're not pieces them because we are forming new revelation. No, we are explaining the Bible in detail, and you are seeing that, oh, this I believe all my life is not true. What do you do? Humility towards the word is to accept what the word of God says, even if it's against my own belief. In case you don't know, there are many things that I've heard. You know, the first that I read a book. I think that book is there's an Andrew Womack book on prayer. A better way to pray. Yeah. So the first way I read it, that was some years back now. And the guy, he was making a joke, kind of, with people that gather at the gate of heaven and are praying as though they want to push down the gate of heaven. He said, God doesn't need all that to answer your prayer. In my mind, I said, look at this man. Is he paying me? Because that's me. I believe in, let us shake up heaven. That's my belief. They say God doesn't get moved by. Even if there are 1,000 people shouting, doesn't move God. I say, see, this man wants to scatter my prayer life. But then, by the time he began to show scriptures, you see, what the word of God says is above what you believe. It doesn't matter how long you've believed it. Once they can explain it to contextually, do you know how many people are not receiving what they want from God because of an erroneous belief? For instance, some people believe that the reason they've not got what they want is because they committed sin some time back. If you don't drop that belief and believe that you are now righteous in Christ, we can pray for you from now till Jesus comes. You're not going to receive anything. Because what you believe about yourself, God cannot even go against it. I get the point. And so you humble yourself to the word of God when it's being taught and receive it with meekness of heart. With meekness of heart. Glory to God. And I know you receive the word of God. Two more things that we'll begin to pray. You receive it with readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. You must be ready. Acts 17 verse 11. We'll read the story of the Berean Christians and how they received the word. The Berean Christians. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
Yeah. Put up like Amplified. All readiness of mind. Amplified will tell us, these Jews, you are better disposed and more noble than those Thessalonica. Why did he say they were more noble? For they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God with inclination of mind and eagerness, searching and examining the scriptures daily. So you find out there is a mindset you have towards what God has been taught. You must be ready. All your mind, your everything must be in it. Readiness of mind. You must be eager and ready. And it shows, for instance, in how you pass. You know, I normally teach you guys, learn to pay attention in meetings. Because things are happening that you don't know. Right? So you pay very close attention. Your heart must be ready, willing, expectant. You know, you must be enthusiastic at heart to receive from God. You know, I talk about sleeping a lot. Because sometimes I believe why people can easily sleep off in a meeting. Because they're not that there's no eagerness. You must receive the word with every form of eagerness. And in case you used to sleep in meetings, let me teach you something. Begin to correct it. Begin to learn. And how you do it is begin to train yourself. You know, some of you that trained with me in ministry some years back, you know the kind of meetings I run. How many of you remember Freedom Fighter? Yeah, I started preaching by 2:05. Now that's after the whole, we've had meeting throughout the whole day, preached, prayed, around 2:05, and I came up and started preaching. You have to be awake and listen to it. Are you getting the point? Training of meaning for ministry is not bread and butter. It's not convenience. I'm just tired, though. I will not kill myself. You should kill yourself sometimes. Amen? See, that's why you just want to teach 2 hours, 3 hours. And then you stay in class for the whole day. They teach you till evening. Even against your will. We are learning it. And so you follow with eagerness. Let your attention be there. You know what things I normally teach you guys, if you don't want to get carried away in a meeting, is let your 5 senses follow. Remember I say that all the time. Make sure your 5 senses are in the meeting. For instance, your skin is one of your senses. That's why you write. You engage your hands. Your mouth. That's why they say praise God. Talk. Where they say shout. Shout. Be involved. Be looking at the man of God. Be listening. Be talking. Smell. Make sure every part of you is active in the meeting. And that's some of you that are struggling with your prayer life. You say, every time I want to pray, I just start sleeping. That's the same reason. You want to pray, you now sit down. And you want to pray in the night around 10, 11, you now sit down and say, Shakuro, potokoro, but about sleep. You've always planned to sleep. By 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, everything in you does not want to pray. So you have to stand up and engage your body. So move around. You pace around. You get the point? That's how the part of meetings. So you get the regardless of heart. You're following. You're writing. You are jumping. When they say jump, jump, oh. Get the point? When they say dance, dance. You know, sometimes when it comes to miracle meetings, like we're going to have some of them in the meeting, you know, have types of miracles in the meeting. One measure that makes miracle happen is obedience to instruction. Elisha said to Naaman, just go and bath. 7 times. Come on. If you're an Israelite, you should have been bathing in Jordan all your life. Children go to stream to bath, so all your life. So, no man say, what was this one? Go and bathe in Jordan. I've been doing that all my life. Jesus told that man, go and show yourself to the priest. So the instruction in the meeting is, let us laugh. And you're forming packaging. You say, how can I be laughing like that? What if fly enter my mouth? Sometimes it's just so be active, be in the meeting. The first miracle service I attended, I told you the man of God just said we should shout hallelujah 3 times. Then when we shout the 3rd one, we should jump up, you know. That was it. And we shouted, 3rd one. I saw clutches, I saw wheelchairs going up. That's simple obedience. Because it is the words that make miracles. Because the man has tied the miracle to that instruction. I think that's what I'm saying. And so you are eager, attentive, you know, following the meeting. I say this all the time. Something happens at every point in time in service. Even as I'm preaching now. That's why normally, sometimes I advise you, when you listen to messages, you should pray in tongues. Remember I tell you that? Learn to mutter in tongues under your breath sometimes when the word is coming. It keeps you very sensitive and attentive to what is going on in the meeting. It keeps you very sensitive. Things don't fly past you. That's why they can be preaching in meetings. You are hearing something else they're not even hearing. Are you getting it? You are hearing something else. So while in the meeting, you are praying. Don't distract anybody. But under your breath, you are following the meeting spiritually and physically. You're opening your spiritual and every part of you is open to receive what is going to happen in the meeting. So we are expectant. And finally, how do I receive God's word? 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Hallelujah. You see, the media team, there are 1,001 complaints since this meeting started. People following online are not joining this meeting at all. Do you know? Both on Mixlr and on Facebook. And this is very bad. It's very bad for a service like this. And I warned you guys. I'll see people after service. Praise God. Now, so the last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, yeah. He said, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Now, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So, how did they receive the word of God? They received it as the word of God. And I'm going to close with this. One major way to get blessed in Christian meetings is to receive God's word, the word the men speak, as it is God speaking. Are you following me? Are you still in church? As it is God speaking. You know, whenever you, like I stayed there, don't see it like this pastor is talking. If you see like this pastor is talking, you might not get blessed. They receive this as the word of God, as it is. So that when the pastor say, you are going to do this, by next tomorrow, you are going to be blessed. Don't see it like pastor said. No, it's not pastor that said. Look at, they received it as the word of God. Put up another translation. As the word of God. He said, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received this message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. Hallelujah. So when we come on stage, we are not sharing our thoughts with you. Do you understand? We are not sharing our mind. We are not wishing you well. When I tell you you are blessed, I'm not wishing you well. I'm telling you God's word. And you receive it as though it is God's word, because indeed it is. And I tell you something, that is what is going to birth miracles in the meeting. Amen? That when the man of God says, oh, your feet is bad, rise now and start walking. You are not seeing it like pastor said I should walk. No, God said I should rise and walk. Amen? Imagine if Jesus himself appears in the meeting and says, hey, stand up. However you are going to respond to it, that's how you respond. If Jesus says, that cancer is normal, how you are going to respond to it is, you know, that's what we talk about rejoicing. Receive God's word as God's word. Amen? If I walk up to you and tell you, you know, I tell people, the problem we have most times is that we don't believe God's word, but we believe Satan so much. I give this illustration all the time. If you're walking down that road now, and one man wearing red and white with powder and chalk all over his face just block you with feather and just come around you with his back and drop powder and tell you, 2 days you die. The way you call your pastor, they say, sir, good evening, no. Sorry for calling you by this time of the night, but he realized you already believe what he said. He said, God forbid, it's you that will die. But he just said it. But if I am walking down that road, I just shake you and say, oh, bless God. You are blessed. You just say like, thank you. You see how our heart is trained to believe the words of Satan's of agents of Satan as the words of Satan himself. But we don't believe the words of servants of God as God's word himself. Who is following what I'm talking about? That man tell you 3 days. If you don't die, no, it's not me. You have to call me, sir. Come you. You now begin to call, sir. Sir, I don't know what's happening. I've been praying. You know, you're not praying. And your dream life will change. If you are doing, I see the man pursuing you. He says, Pastor, since that day, I've been seeing him in my dream. You believe what he said. It might even be a passive statement. But then, we walk up to you, and we'll tell you, that situation has changed. You say, amen, oh, amen, oh. You now go back. It will not come to your dream. Because your heart was not readily accepted like you accepted the other man's words. Please follow me this one. When we tell you everything has changed, believe everything has changed. That's how to take to ask the word of God. It's not man talking to you. We are not giving you men's ideas. Hallelujah. We are not. We are not. You came in here with a sickness in your body. I can tell you under God, you are healed right now. And you must take it as word of God. You know, I tell you guys, learn to take the word of God like or more than how you take doctor's words very seriously. A doctor meets you and tells you, just checks you, say, there is cancer. You are not feeling cancerous. You are even fine. But because doctor said it, you now come and meet me and say, Pastor, I have cancer. Because doctor said. You are not even seeing any sign. I didn't get the point. You know, I gave an example to with HIV. Sometimes nothing is wrong with you. You are fine. Doctor just says, you have HIV. And I say, I have HIV. You now believe. You start taking drug. Which you should anyway. I didn't get the point. But that same way, God's word comes to you and says you are forgiven. You say, I don't feel like I'm still feeling guilty. He's asking you about your feeling. How do you feel? I don't care how you feel. God's word is true. I didn't get the point. You feel guilty. You feel sad. You feel condemned. Your feeling is in your pocket. God's word said you are forgiven. So you take it as God's word. God's word said, if I lay hands on you and tell you you are healed, forget it, he said to do, you are healed. He says, I don't feel healed. Who asked you again about how you feel? Praise God. I told you guys, after this meeting, we're going to have a lot of inflow of finance. I've told that so much. And it's not just what they say, you will see it. Many of you, your business will leap. You get the point? For many of you, many other channels will open. You know that there is someone here that the business you've been doing, it pays you, but then it takes all your time. You are wishing you had more time for yourself and more time for church, and still have a well-paying business. God is going to show you his wisdom in this meeting. You will find out how to do it. Yeah, that's what I heard. You will find out how to do it such that the money will be there, your time will still be there for you. He's going to show you his wisdom. When you hear God's word, you take it as God's word. One last scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12.
Be magnified, O Lord, you are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified.
Sing it again, be magnified.
Be magnified.
You are highly exalted.
There is nothing you cannot do.
And there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified.
Say, be magnified.
Be magnified. Oh Lord,
you are highly exalted.
You are highly exalted.
There is nothing you cannot do.
And there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified.
Oh Lord, be magnified.
Oh Lord, be magnified.
You know why I did this song? You know, the Lord said to me, he said, tell them not to limit me. Yeah, I heard that. He said, tell them not to limit me. Don't box God. Don't keep God within the boundaries of your imagination. Do it again.
Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted.
Psalm 78, verse 41. Psalm 78, 41. Go ahead and sing.
And there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified.
Look at the screen. Psalm 78 verse 41. He said, yeah, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. Praise God. Don't limit God. I just said God said that again and again and again and again. Don't limit him. You see, there are many, there is much more that God can do. There is much more. So I'd like you to expand your heart. Are you getting me? Expand it. Stretch it. Don't put God in the box of your imagination. You say, ah, this one, God can. No, God can exceed your expectation. He always does. So you feel what you are asking for is too big. No, 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 no. God will exceed the expectation. Don't limit him. Don't think, yeah, this is what he can just do. He can do beyond that. So stretch. Hallelujah. Don't limit him. Don't limit him. Don't limit him. Don't think he will do it through this way. There is not one way through which God provides money. He has many channels. There is not one way. There is not just one way through which God provides money. And I tell you, for every door that closes, God opens seven more. For every channel that closes, there is not one channel. You know, you are trusting God, you are running a project, and then you had plans for the money. You've made your plans, and towards the time for the project to be accomplished, that channel, like something distorted it. You see, don't give up yet. There is not one way. God has many ways. God has
has many ways.
He has many ways. He has many ways. He has many ways. And with God, the second is always better than the first. The third is always better than the second. The fourth is always better than the third. That's how God was. When he provided wine in that wedding, the one he provided was better than the one they had before. Yeah, that's how God works. So I tell you, for everything you lost, in 2 weeks, you will get something better. For everything you lost, in 2 weeks, something better. Something better. Don't limit him.
Oh Lord, be magnified.
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 Chapter 1 verse 12. Kamate korateya. Shiteke koroveta. When God speaks, take God's word as God's word. That's the secret to what they call the miraculous in church. Yeah. Because like the testimony just said, that the girl, she said, believe God, she prayed. And the next day, because she believed that something has happened when she prayed, she went with the application to a place nobody invited her to. They didn't advertise. That was the biggest of such firms in that particular city. She went there. Nobody advertised. Just went there. When you know your prayer has worked, that's the way you react to it. That's the way. I tell you what, your faith cannot fail. Because it is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember? It is God's faith.
Lord be magnified. Oh Lord be magnified.
Lord be magnified.
Oh Lord be magnified.
Let's do it from the beginning.
Be magnified. Oh Lord,
you are highly exalted.
You are highly exalted.
There is nothing you cannot do.
And there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, eyes are on you. Be magnified.
Let me hear you say,
oh Lord, be magnified.
It came to pass as she continued praying. So they went to a program. They went to Shiloh, this feast, annual feast. She continued, so she decided this expectation. They'll be going every year, but she needed a child. He said, this year I'm not going to eat, I'm going to go and pray. So she went and started praying. Are you getting the point? That's why when you're going for a meeting, there's a way to come. Even if that matter has been lingering for long, decide that this is the end of it. Yeah. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. So others were eating, she was praying. Hannah, she spake in her heart only. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. So, you know, you can imagine, Man of God couldn't even perceive that she was praying. You know, it was time. And remember, at this point, let me use the Old Testament language. The Lord had rejected Eli. How many of you remember this? At this point, the Lord had, God was done with Eli. I get the point. But so it was okay for him to think you are drunk. But look at what she said. He said, and Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Okay. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaints and grief have I spoken hitherto. And verse 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition. You see, that was what. Go. Notice what this woman did until she heard that. Verse 18 is very key. Verse 18. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did it. Her cattle was no more sad. She stopped being sad. That's how to take God's word. She was fasting, prayed. Man said, go, it's done. She stopped. A man God had rejected, in quotes. You see what I'm saying? A man God had rejected. Yet, that same time, next day, she conceived. Because it wasn't like, go in peace. He said, amen, no. I pray. So I've been praying. Go in peace. She took it as God has said something. So that was it. Look at NLT said, oh, thank you, sir. She exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again. She was no longer sad. Has she seen a baby then? No. Was she pregnant then? No. But in the spirit, she has handled it. Because the word has gone forth. Did this for me. El Shaddai. Hello,
Iman Adonai.
Age to age, you're still the same.
By the power of your name. El Shaddai. Elohim and Adonai.
Hey.
I will praise and lift you high. El Shaddai.
Among other gods,
they are the works of men.
That wasn't it, but continue.
You are the only God.
God say,
oh Lord, the God,
they are the works of man.
They are the works of man.
You are the only God.
You are the only God.
There is none like you.
There is none like you.
All other gods,
all other gods,
they are the works of man.
They are the works of man.
You are the only. God's word is final authority. When it comes to you in a meeting, take it as it is. Yeah, take it as it is. Deals are closed this week.
this week. Take it as it is. It doesn't matter how long you've been going for it. You are going again this time. You are going again this time. And they will answer you on your terms. Kabarata. They will answer you on your terms. I heard in my spirit, said, ministry needs are delivered. If you're a pastor, you're a minister, there is a physical need you have in your ministry. You're looking for a hall, you're looking for instruments. In the name of Jesus, I come to you as God's servant. You have it now. You have it. Stand your feet. Word is final authority. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I'd like you to begin to pray. Okay? You pray out your expectation. You have a need, you have a challenge, and you're expecting God to solve it. Talk to Him now. Some of you will get your answer from this meeting. Some of you will be asked for another weekend, but begin to pray from now. This is a faith-charged environment, faith-charged atmosphere. Can sense it, faith charged. In this atmosphere, anything can happen. Admissions given. Just go ahead. Admissions delivered.
Just go ahead. Just go ahead. I'll give you some more time. This atmosphere is charged for anything. Don't limit God. Those expectations that you have even stopped praying about, bring them up now. Dispensations, distributions. Let the church pray. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Continue praying.
Betty, you're to a coming. A yeti, a di demo bomb. A yeti, a di da yam yo. Yan yede non e toro. Jesus, a di yo to a coming. A yeti, a di demo bomb. A yeti, a di da yam yo. Yan yede non e toro. Jesus said, you to a coming. Hey, ye did the demo come. Hey, ye did I am you.
Ha ha ha.
No, 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 man, I know. Jesus said, you to a coming. Hey, ye, the demo bomb. Hey, ye, di da mi o ya kere no le itoro. You are my warrior, you are the king of glory, you are my savior, we've come to give you all the praise.
In Jesus' name. Listen. By God's call upon my life, what you have asked for is yours now. It is yours now. Every sickness that has been termed incurable or that is demanding something, a large sum of money to cure. Doctor has said it's going to demand maybe a surgery or something. I end it now. I end it now in the name of Jesus. Now you find that symptoms no more in your body now. It is cut off from the root in the name of Jesus. Never again, never again, never again, never again in the name of Jesus.
That stuff that has been moving around in your body, you've taken drugs and it did not go.
Yeah, someone actually wrote to me about that yesterday. If you're following this service now, or there's another person like that in this place now, this is your time for your healing. I caused that object to stop moving now. And whatever be the cause of it, it's uprooted right now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus heals you. He heals your legs. He heals your legs. He heals your legs. He heals your legs. He heals your bones. He heals your bones. What must be removed is removed now. What must be replaced is replaced now. What must be repaired is repaired now. What must be created new is created new now. In the name of Jesus. I heard the Lord say new organs. New organs. New organs. New organs. New organs. New organs. Yeah. Yeah. Your eyesight is corrected. It's corrected. It's corrected. It's corrected. It's corrected. Yabarakate la gush. Whoosh. Kevabakea. Tige 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 tige. Vetete katoya.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.